Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of our podcast. Today, we are going to be doing something a little bit different. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually give you an extract from our 21-day meetings challenge, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on one particular skill that is very, very important when you're in meetings in English. And this particular skill is disagreeing and providing a different perspective. And so, as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair. How are you doing?
Hi, Daniel. I'm fine. And you?
Good. I'm okay. I'm good. Yeah. So, what we're going to do is a bit different today. Yeah. We're not going to do a standard podcast show. We're going to focus on a particular skill. And we're going to extract it from the course that we have built together.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this particular skill, which is very important, as I said at the beginning, disagreeing and providing a different perspective. And we're going to go firstly through the idea of why it's important, why it's difficult to do, and what to avoid. And then after that, we're going to give five different sentences and expressions that will be useful to know when you are actually in that particular situation, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is to give people a taster, shall we say, of the course.
Yes, an introduction. Exactly. Yeah. So people can get an idea of what the course is about and how it potentially could help them.
Yeah, because all of the days on the course follow a similar structure, but with a different content or different topic. All exactly. Related to meetings, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Absolutely. So let's start, and maybe we can just, or I can ask you, Alistair, why this particular skill, which is disagreeing and providing a different perspective, why it's important?
Yes, well, it's not just disagreeing, but obviously it's disagreeing politely. This is very important. Mm. So obviously you can just disagree by, well, we'll come in a minute to basic phrases you might use to disagree, but this is not really sufficient at this level of meetings and obviously with your colleagues, but even more perhaps when you're in meetings with external people, possible clients, customers, you need to be able to disagree with people and put your particular point of view or perspective, but you have to do it in a polite way. No, you don't want to offend people, particularly clients, obviously, or upset people, or appear to be rude. So this is the skill. And this is a skill in your own language. So it's quite difficult, even in your native tongue, to be able to disagree with people in a polite way that doesn't offend them, and then be able to put your point of view across. No, so this is a skill that is fundamental to participating in any kind of meetings at any level in English.
It is. Absolutely.
And particularly if you're leading, so if you're, even more important, if you're moderating, leading, chairing the meeting, perhaps even more important. But for anybody in the meeting at some point, you may want to disagree with somebody and you need to know, what the language, the vocabulary you need to be able to do that effectively, but without being impolite.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there, really, Alistair. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. And especially if you, as you say, if you are the chair of the meeting, it's even more important. If you are maybe the boss, or you are, in a leadership position, then this is a skill that you absolutely need to get a handle on, right? Because you don't want to offend anybody on your team necessarily. And there's a certain skill, as you said, even in your native language, that can be tricky, right? So it's definitely something that you need to try to develop if you can in a foreign language too. Okay, so that's why it's important. But why is it difficult? We kind of touched on that already, right? Because it's like you don't want to offend anybody, you want to be polite. But at the same time, you also want to develop your argument, right? You can't just say, well, I disagree with that, which again, we'll come on to those types of...
what you should avoid next.
Yeah. But you kind of need to be able to disagree and then explain why you're disagreeing, all in a polite way, really. isn't it? That's the key thing.
So, yeah, and as we said, what makes it really difficult? Well, it's just a difficult thing to do full stop, as we said, in your own language. It's not easy. You need certain communication skills or language skills. But then obviously, when you're doing it in a second language that's not your first language, it's even more difficult. So being able to, because obviously you have a tendency, if you're speaking a second language, even if you have a, you know, pretty good level, you're fairly fluent, you still have a tendency just to go to some very basic language or simplistic language, obviously because that's easier for you to remember, no? In the moment. And that's what you're trying to avoid. You want to use something a little more, you know, to be more subtle. Now, being subtle in another language is very one of the most difficult things. And also that etiquette, if you like, between, you know, not being rude or appearing to be impolite. That's a very difficult thing to manage in another language. So this is, you know, we want to give our, you know, people doing the course or listeners some tools, vocabulary tools, expressions they can use. And then, as you say, to then introduce your point of view, you know, to develop your own argument.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, this is not easy. It's difficult to say. It's quite difficult in your own language to do. Not everyone is capable of doing it, even in their mother tongue. They can be a bit too direct, come across as a bit impolite, a bit rude. And that you don't want to do that in meetings, either with your colleagues or especially with, obviously, external people, you know, and potential customers, clients.
Yeah. And it might not be something that you can avoid. It's like, your intention is not to be rude, but it's just because your limited vocabulary, it might come across like that, right?
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing.
Exactly. I mean, it's definitely something that would happen to me in Spanish, I think, in different, you know, you would maybe just not, you kind of don't want to be rude, but because of maybe your limited vocabulary, you just tend to go to the thing that you know is going to deliver the message, but it just is not quite right and is not really right for the context either. And I think that's the key thing, is like, if it was a very sort of maybe relaxed situation, maybe it wouldn't matter if you were a little bit abrupt. I suppose that would be the word. You know, you don't want to be abrupt. You don't want to be just very harsh. You want to soften your language and elaborate your argument, essentially, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult thing to do well, isn't it? Without
it is
offending someone or potentially offending somebody. This is what this day is about in the course, isn't it? It's trying to give people a toolkit, some expressions that we can use that are fairly common, fairly, you know, sort of higher level language. No, it's not. It's not basic language. This is the point.
That's right.
But we think it'd be very useful so that you can disagree with people and do it in a way that, you know, is effective and, you know, is not, theoretically at least, shouldn't cause any offence, or which is, you know, you don't want to offend your, especially your customers, no, but your colleagues neither.
Yeah, it's useful in all different types of contexts, no matter who is sitting on the other side of the table, right? You don't want to offend, you know, if you have that skill to make it clear that you disagree, but you can do it in a polite way, fantastic. You know, it's useful for every type of context or every type of situation that you might find yourself in, whether it's somebody external or internal or somebody above you or below you. it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you are the leader, the boss, you don't want to offend your own team, if you like, or your colleagues. And obviously, if you're the person who's participating in the meeting, the same. Well, you don't want to offend your boss and you don't want to offend other colleagues. But maybe, you know, and especially as we've said a couple of times, that, you know, you really don't want to be offending, you know, imagine it's some potential big contract that you're trying to win in a negotiation with a external client, customer, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be the difference between, you know, winning that contract or not.
Yeah.
So imagine because you come across as a bit rude and a bit too direct, you might offend someone and lose a $1 million deal or something. Maybe that is a bit extreme, but it's possible, no?
It is possible. Yeah, absolutely. So let's quickly go into what to avoid, because these are the types of phrases that probably would naturally come out, certainly for us, maybe in Spanish, and for our listeners in English, just because we, you know, it's what we know is correct. But at the same time, you know, you fall into the trap of being a little bit too hard and a little bit too harsh. So we've got four examples here. The first one is, I don't agree. And just basically leaving it at that, right? I don't agree. Now, that would be quite harsh, wouldn't it, Alistair? Yeah.
Depends on your tone of voice as well, you know, these things. Of course. Saying, I don't agree, in a sort of angry tone of voice, or not very friendly point. And then, especially if you just stop there and don't even continue to explain why. So, I mean, you could say, I don't agree, in a sort of more friendly tone of voice, and then continue to explain why I have a different point of view, and maybe it's not the end of the world to do that, but it's probably better to avoid just saying directly, I don't agree, especially in a, you know, sort of slightly aggressive tone of voice. That's definitely to be avoided.
Yes.
And, you know, your body language. It's a mixture of things, isn't it? Tone of voice, facial expression, body language, it all combines, you know, to give a potentially a bad image, which you don't want to do. So just saying, I don't agree, like that, and then even just stopping is you know, not a good idea.
No, that's not a great approach. And all of these are very short, okay? Obviously, the idea here is that you want to be able to show your disagreement, but then soften it, right? And that's what we'll come on to into the terms of the toolkit, the language toolkit that we'll give in a few seconds, right? But, you know, all of these are fairly abrupt. All of them are going to kind of give off the wrong vibes, let's say. They're definitely to be avoided. Yeah. The second one is, that's not right. Again, grammatically completely fine, absolutely no problem. But again, it's just going to leave the other person a little bit shocked.
So it's similar to, I don't agree, that's not right. Too short, too abrupt. And again, you know, depends on the tone of voice, but you tend to say that kind of abrupt sentence probably in a not very friendly tone of voice, just the way, you know, that's not right. It doesn't sound good. Apart from the words themselves, it's the way it comes across. No?
Yeah. And the last one actually is, you're wrong.
Yeah, that's maybe the worst of all. Yeah, it's right. You're very wrong. Blunt, very direct.
It is.
It's like, you're wrong.
I
don't agree, you're wrong, even two together, no? This is not good, this one. But of course, in the second language, you know, those phrases are very easy. You know them, and they're very easy to say.
They are.
Because they're not, you know, very elaborated. So then maybe the first things just come into your mind in English as your second language.
Yeah.
But, you know, really you want to avoid them. This is the point.
Absolutely. Good. And then in a general sense, we kind of want to avoid simple one or two word sentences, right? So in fact, most of those are three word sentences. So, you know, I mean, the idea is there, right? Is that the more abrupt or short the message is, you kind of just leave your opposite number or the person sitting opposite you sort of hanging, and they kind of think, wow,
not quite sure what to say.
Exactly. I mean,
you've got to introduce a phrase that sort of demonstrates that, yes. Well, I think it's sort of a game, isn't it? We've said this before, I think, in other contexts. Sometimes in these business situations, meetings, negotiations, you're sort of playing a game between you and the opposition, if you want to call it that, whether that's other colleagues or, especially if it's external people, visitors, clients, customers, etc. So you want to show that, I don't agree with you and I don't think you're right, and I'm going to give my point of view, but you're doing it in the sort of subtle, polite, nice way that you're, you know, hopefully not going to offend the other person.
Exactly.
This is the point, you've got to have that image of professionalism and, you know, maintaining that. So just saying, I don't agree, you're wrong, in that sort of tone of voice as well, is definitely not good. It's not going to help the situation, especially potential sort of negotiation to get some business from somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Good, so there you go. We have done why it's important, why it's difficult, and what to avoid. And now we're actually going to look at five different alternatives that will hopefully give our listeners today a little bit of inspiration help them soften their language and allow them to disagree, but also give a different perspective, right? Alistair, mm-hmm. that's the idea. So a sort of mini toolkit, just as we go, we do with a whole course, the whole 21-day course. We give every day some different phrases that will help you in this particular type of context, right? So the first one, the first little tool that we're giving you is a sentence that is, I see it slightly differently. From my perspective, and then you have the alternative point of view, right? The alternative viewpoint.
That's the thing, isn't it? You're saying the bit where you don't agree without using the words you don't agree. Mm-hmm. So, you're finding other ways to say the same thing far more subtly and politely that hopefully won't, you know, cause any offense to somebody. And then you're, from that, you're then bringing in, it's enabling you to then give your point of view and say why you disagree.
Yeah.
So, you know, I see it slightly differently. Now, it may not be true. Again, this comes back, sometimes it's a bit of a game. So you say, I see it slightly differently. Slightly means, you know, just have a little bit of disagreement with you here. But then what you actually say when you say, well, my perspective is this or my point of view, and maybe you say something completely different. So perhaps you disagree actually quite a lot, but you're not saying that. That word slightly immediately softens the degree of disagreement. No, it's like saying, well, you know, you're obviously saying something very intelligent, very good, but I'm just a little element of it I don't agree with. And this may in fact not be true, because then what you go on to say might demonstrate you actually disagree quite a lot, but you're not saying it.
And that leads us nicely onto the second one, which has a different type of approach. A little bit of a different approach, because it starts with the phrase, I understand your point, which I think is really, really important because you're actually acknowledging the other person and their point of view, right? So the full sentence is, I understand your point, but I have concerns about, and then it would be a specific issue, right? So this is a nice one because you are actually acknowledging, right, Alistair, their point of view, and you're not just refusing it immediately by saying, you know, I don't agree or you're not right, you know.
Yeah, so you're showing that you've listened to what they've said, you understand what they've said, you're sort of saying, you know, what they've said is not stupid, it's, you know, they made some relevant points. However, you have some issues, some concerns about, and then it'd be a certain aspect to what they've said, not everything.
Exactly.
Or at least that's the way it comes across, no? So again, you're acknowledging that, what you've said is, very good, good point. However, there is this aspect of what you said that I think differently. Or I have some, you know, maybe slightly different point of view.
Exactly.
So it's sort of similar to the first, well, all of these are similar, really. And it's similar to the first one, no? Is your... you're not just dismissing what the person said as like making it sound like they're stupid or they don't know what they're talking about. Like, you're wrong.
Exactly.
Or I disagree. So it's just I mean, maybe that's what you're really saying, as I said, to come back to this issue of a little bit like a game you're playing.
Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Brett, everyone in the meeting maybe knows exactly what exactly what you're really saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're not saying it. And this is the point. This is important. This is all, you know, diplomacy. No, it's politics.
Yeah.
Really,
that's
what's going on.
Yeah. And that's what's difficult in a foreign language. It's not easy at all, is it? Because, as you said, with
the most difficult thing.
Mm. Yeah. With the first one and the second one, you kind of, the first one you use the word slightly, and the second one you say, I understand your point of view. But that might be not really true whatsoever, but it's absolutely the right thing to say in that point in time, right?
You're getting across what the message that you want to say, but in this subtle way that, you know, you're, it's like etiquette, isn't it? There's a certain etiquette to these situations, about how to behave, you know, and to be polite, and you're following the etiquette, what you're supposed to do, but you're making it clear at the same time that I have a different point of view, and now I'm going to say what it is. But it's the way you know, the forms, the way you do it is important.
Absolutely.
Especially, the, you know, the higher the level the meeting is and the more important the people are you're speaking to, you know, this becomes even more. I mean, if it's a fairly informal meeting just with your colleagues, well, this is not so important, no? Because they know you, you're more relaxed. Sure. Probably nobody's going to get particularly offended. But obviously, yeah, a more formal meeting, maybe with something, you know, very important that's being discussed, that, you know, like negotiations with clients, customers, then, yeah, these things are very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Good. And we've got three more that we'll go through quite quickly. I understand where you're coming from, which again is a very good sort of like frase hecha almost. I understand where you're coming from, but I'd like to offer a different viewpoint. Okay. So again slightly, slightly different, but still basically the same construction, which is acknowledging and then offering your point of view, right? Essentially.
Yeah. That's what you're doing all the time, is it? Acknowledging the other person,
yeah,
that you're not saying you disagree completely, or at least you're not using those words.
Yeah.
So it gives, you're acknowledging that, you know, they have a valid point of view, what they've said. Some of it, you know, is perfectly reasonable, and you're not, but you want to add something. You know, you've got a slightly different perspective, different point of view.
Mm.
So where you're coming from is acknowledging that, yeah, you know, what you're saying is not ridiculous or stupid. It's perfectly valid. However, you know, I've got slightly different point of view.
Yep.
So they're all fairly, they're all basically saying, you know, slightly different words to say the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly the same words. Yeah. Well, no, giving, different words. Yeah. Different words, same sort of structure, essentially, which is recognition and then giving your point of view, essentially.
Your perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, and that word perspective keeps coming up again and again. And in fact, it comes up in this next one. I appreciate your perspective. Again, sort of frase hecha that maybe you want to remember. I appreciate your perspective, but I have a different interpretation of the situation. Again, doing essentially the same thing. I think the second part there is a little bit harder, but I have a different interpretation of the situation. Mm. Maybe it's like a little bit harder than the others. But
yeah, a little, but still, you know. You're using very nice language.
You are. You are.
Yeah, so it's not, doesn't sound offensive in any way.
No, 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 no. And then the
what you're doing is you're nicely introducing you to then give what is your other point of view or perspective.
Yeah.
So it's leading you into your next thing you want to say, no? Very nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then the last one is, I like to play devil's advocate here. Or sorry, I would make it, to make it clear, I would like to play devil's advocate here and present an alternative perspective. Again, using the word perspective at the end there. And
this one's slightly different, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's, I suppose it's, yeah. Mm. It's the sort of situation where it's more collaborative in a way. You're kind of just trying to say, okay, what could potentially go wrong? You have a feeling that maybe something could go wrong, being devil's advocate, which is a Spanish expression as well, right? I think.
Yeah. What is it? El abogado del diablo.
So yes.
It means the same. Advocate is another word we use, like lawyer.
That's right. Yeah.
It means the same thing, basically.
Yeah. You're kind of like, you know, thinking of the worst things that could potentially happen, or thinking about, you know, what other people might think in terms of it not being right, or something going wrong, or whatever. But
well, I suppose you're proposing we need to look at it. You're not necessarily saying, by saying it's devil's advocate, what you're doing is excusing yourself, because you're saying this is not necessarily my point of view. So I don't necessarily believe in what I'm going to say, but I'm putting, you know, out there, I'm suggesting that, you know, an alternative. So this could be a criticism that could come from someone else or from a third party, and I'm just putting it there for debate. We need to think about that.
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily saying it's your point of view, so you sort of excuse. Now, it may be your point of view, but it gives you a sort of get-out clause. No, like, no, I'm just, you know, saying the worst-case scenario that somebody may totally disagree. Yeah. And I think we need to debate this in this meeting, no?
So, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You're sort of suggesting a topic of a debate, really.
Yeah.
But obviously offering a different perspective from what up to now people have been saying, or a particular person in the meeting. No?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, so yeah, those are the five expressions or five sentences that we think could help you in this particular type of context. Okay. So I'll just repeat them quickly. I see it slightly differently. From my perspective, okay? I understand your point of view, but I have concerns about, etc. I understand where you're coming from, but I'd like to offer a different viewpoint. Number four is, I appreciate your perspective, but I have a different interpretation of the situation. And the last one is, I'd like to play devil's advocate here and present an alternative perspective. Okay, so those are that's the language toolkit for this particular skill, right? And as we said at the beginning, Alistair, right, this is just an extract from the 21-day challenge. And so maybe we can now quickly just explain a little bit about what that 21-day challenge is. No, I mean, we certainly, is a course that we've developed, especially for people who have to go to lots of meetings in English, right? It helps basically enhance your performance in those meetings in terms of giving you different words, different expressions that can help you be more professional in those contexts, right, Alistair?
Move, you know, to that next level.
Absolutely.
Have a better command of the language with a richer or more varied vocabulary, you know, not a basic, simple vocabulary. That will enable you to do certain things. So obviously each day of the challenge focuses on a different aspect of meetings, and then gives you this toolkit of useful phrases, expressions, words that will help you to communicate in that particular aspect of the meeting, like the one today, you know, with how to disagree politely and offer your perspective. So 21 different aspects of meetings. And then it follows a similar, the format is the same in the sense that, you know, we look at those three different aspects you said, you know, why is it important? Why is it difficult? What do you need to avoid? What is the language you need to avoid that's not good? And then offering you these alternatives, which is the toolkit. No?
Yeah, exactly.
For each of the days of the challenge or the course, whatever you want to call it.
Yep, exactly. And it's a 21-day audio course. And so if you are interested, the wait list is open at the moment, and it will be open until the 27th of May. The link will be in the show notes. So you just go to the text under this particular episode and you'll find the link there. And that will show you all about the price and give you all the details about the course. Okay. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you'll be able to find that link. Once you click on that link, you'll get a whole web page kind of explaining the whole thing about the course, including the price and everything else. The course is super flexible and very affordable. And when you actually buy the course, you actually get lifetime access. So, you know, you don't have to do the 21 days immediately,
in 21
let's say.
Days,
that's
no?
right. That's right. Yeah. A lot of people ask
us about
that.
I think people had some concerns about, I didn't have time, I missed a day. But once you're receiving those audios that reach you every day, it doesn't matter. You've got it for life, no? So you can do it. It's very flexible. So you can listen to it and do it at any time you want at a later date.
That's right. Exactly right. Mm. Yeah. That's, I mean, we knew that our audience is kind of very sort of busy professional audience.
Busy people.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of English for busy people, basically. Business English for busy people. And and so that's why we wanted to create this, number one, the audio course, because we know that you can actually do the course while you're doing something else, which is really like whether you're driving to work or in the gym or whatever else.
Yeah, running. The podcast, no? It's the same
absolutely
concept.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, just a little bit more focused and a little bit more set out, basically, focusing on a particular skill. In this case, is obviously helping people to develop their language related to meetings, and so that you can perform at a higher level in those all important meetings that you have in English.
Yeah, and so with the audio, you get a transcript. This is important.
It's two.
Well, this will all be mentioned when they click on the link.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they can actually read and see our conversation and then have those expressions at the end. And what we call the toolkit will be written. So it's, you know, they can see it as well.
Absolutely.
That's important.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the idea is actually that at the end of the 21 days is that you can actually build your own toolkit. So from every single day of the 21 days, you highlight different expressions and build your own toolkit at the end, which is also, we have that at the end of our document that was given to you. so that you kind of have like a cheat sheet basically available for you when you go into meetings in terms of what's my best expression for agreeing or disagreeing politely, whatever it might be, right? So you have that one particular expression that comes to you faster and helps you in those particular moments, those difficult moments where you kind of just would say, that's not right, or you're wrong, right? No, I'm going to go to something else. I'm going to go to something more subtle. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Alistair, thank you very much. That was amazing. This is a bit of an unusual one, but we wanted to do this because I think it's definitely interesting for people. This particular episode will only be available for a few days. I think maybe probably a week or so. Then we'll take it down and we'll be back to the normal sort of podcast platform and, you know, normal podcast episodes.
Okay. This is a special collector's item.
Yeah, it's you have to listen to it quick, otherwise it'll be gone. Yeah. Okay. All right, Alistair, thank you very much for your time, and we'll speak again next week. Okay.
Yep. Cheers.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.